facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome to Monday on The Cale Clark Show. It is July the 19th, 2021. I'm so happy that you're with me. Call 1-888-914-9149. Toll free 1-888-914-9149. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. At Cale Clark is the show account, and you can email us any questions or comments, K-L-C-A-L-E at relevantradio.com. And yeah, producer Lucas, I am cracking open another week of fresh shows for y'all.
Is that the newly flavored Coke Zero, Cale?
It is not. I'm actually turning over a new leaf. Don't worry, it's not a light beer or anything like that. It is sparkling water in a can.
Okay, interesting.
It's a health kick, I guess you could say. It's actually, I don't know if they have this in the United States. It's called Bubbly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have that. And I've actually never tried it, but...
It's good. So I'm drinking the Blackberry Bubbly, and they should probably, again, kick in a few dollars to support us. It's practically an advertisement, but you can donate to Relevant Radio at relevantradio.com, Bubbly people.
I'm happy for your health kick. I, however, am sticking with the Diet Coke.
The tried and true. And I got to be honest with you, the only reason I'm drinking this is because I ran out of Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Okay,
so
okay.
Got to make a Costco run, I guess. But in the commercials for Bubbly, the singer Michael Bublé is doing all the ads. I don't know if you've seen these, but I'm sure they're on YouTube. And that's he's hilarious. Like, oh, thank you for naming the drink after me. And they're like, it's Bubbly, not Bublé. Anyways, having said that, we have a sparkling show for you, as well as I'm drinking this sparkling beverage. I got to ask you this question, and you can call in, you can answer me. Do you find it easier to connect with God with your mind, with your intellectual life, or do you find it easier to connect with him on an emotional level, on an affective level? And by affective, I mean A-F-F-E-C-T-I-V-E, affective. And why am I asking this question? Well, I read a great piece by Rachel Bowman, and Rachel Bowman's very active on Twitter. Recently wrote a piece for the Catholic Woman website. And you're wondering why I'm reading the Catholic Woman website. Well, you know, I'm married to a Catholic woman, so I'm trying to get some wisdom here for how to live that properly. But no, honestly, I follow Rachel on Twitter, and I noticed that she had linked to this. And she's a very talented writer. Her first book is going to be published next year with our Sunday visitor, and it's going to be called Becoming Wife: Self-Gift in Matrimony. That sounds really interesting. She also writes for CatholicMom.com, Word on Fire, its blog. And anyway, so you can check her out on Twitter, Rachel Bowman, B-U-L-M-A-N. And she wrote this piece called How God Pursues Us Through the Intellectual Life. And really, I think she was sort of writing to Catholic women. She's obviously a Catholic woman herself. And the website is called The Catholic Woman. However, I do think this applies to everybody. It applies to men as well, about the ways in which we connect with God. So she writes this article in the form of a letter. So I'm just going to read part of it to you. She starts off by saying, "Dear beloved, I still remember the first time I fell in love with the Catholic Church. It was Easter Sunday, 2008. And she says that she was dating her now husband, her then boyfriend, Jason. And she said that she would go to Easter Mass with him. And she had never been to a Mass before, and she called her only Catholic friend that she knew the night before. And she said, what should I know? What do I need to be ready for? What do I wear? And her Catholic friend said, well, just wear clothes. Obviously wear clothes. What else? How do I not look dumb tomorrow? Do what everybody else does. Say the prayers that you can say. Stand, kneel, bow. Just basically do what everybody else does. And how often have we given that advice to our non-Catholic friends and neighbors if they've joined us for a Mass, a wedding, or whatever the case may be? So she was like, what do you mean stand, kneel, bow? Is there going to be calisthenics? What's happening here? Is this aerobics class? And don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. So she went to the Mass. It was Easter Sunday. She got there a little bit late, and they sat in the very last row of the balcony. She couldn't see a thing. But she said, I could hear the hymns, I could smell the incense, I could hear the prayers, I could hear the clanging of the chain from the incense thurible, you know, all the smells and bells, all the sights and sounds. She says, I heard one voice in the unified prayers of the faithful. I smelled reverence in the scents that were wafting their way to the rafters. I felt at rest. I felt at rest. And she said when she drove home from the church with her boyfriend, now husband Jason, she said, well, I didn't realize the whole ride home, I didn't say a word to this guy. It was total silence. Then he finally blurted out, okay, you've been quiet for the entire ride home. Did you hate it? What did you think of the mess? Are you breaking up with me? You got to tell me something. You got to say something. And she said, I found home. I found home. And she said, Rachel Bowman, she writes, when I found home, I was so excited to finally have a space of my own that I was ready to tell the world about her. And by her, she means the Catholic Church, the Bride of Christ. She writes, I took a deep dive into apologetics and now see that my passion only revealed the fringes of the church. I was willing to tell anyone that would listen about how beautiful the windows are, how grand the walls are that hold her up, and the rafters that shelter her, but apologetics only led me to the door. I never stepped inside until I opened up my mind and my heart. End of quote. You know, I think Rachel Bowman has really hit on something here. She's really hit on something here. Apologetics can only take you so far. And that's very important to know the reasons why we believe what we do. Know what you believe, know why you believe it. However, it's a little bit like what Jesus says in John chapter 5, when Jesus said to some of his opponents, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. So we get life from Christ. And scripture, of course, it's the word of God, but it's to lead us to. And we can have an encounter with God, with God through his word. But again, it's because the word points us to Christ, to the incarnate word, Jesus Christ. And apologetics, very much apologetics, it's like removing the obstacles. It's getting the stones out of the path. The stumbling blocks, if you will, the scandalon, that's really what the word stumbling stone really means, scandalon. You hear about scandals. Well, there's certainly, yeah, there are a lot of scandals in the church right now, just as there have been throughout the centuries, and they are not exactly motives of credibility for the Catholic faith. So people have intellectual questions. People have historical questions. Apologetics really is a big umbrella, but it helps to remove the obstacles to make a straight path for you to get to Jesus, maybe better said, for Jesus to get to you. But the point is to connect with him, have that real relationship with him. And so we can't settle for just the window dressing, you know, how grand the walls are, how beautiful the windows, the stained glass. All right, so back to Rachel Bowman for a second. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. And so this is really where she gets to the heart of her argument, talking about this article from Rachel Bowman in The Catholic Woman. And the website is thecatholicwoman.co. I don't know why it's not .com. Is it .colorado? What does that mean? Anyways, .co. Anyways, okay. Need to buy that extra letter. But having said that, here's kind of the main point that she's getting at. She says, dear beloved one, do not neglect your mind as well as the depths of your heart. Too often, she says, women are reduced to their emotional life, which, while beautiful, does not encompass all that we are. We are more than how we feel. And while we are learning the value of our emotions and the freedom required to actually feel happiness, sadness, or joy, or anger, we must not allow ourselves to be reduced to them alone. Your emotion holds greater weight when you're able to derive why you feel, when you feel, how you feel, and what you feel as a means to engaging your whole self in the life that you've been called to lead. And here's a kind of a money quote from Rachel here. She says, if your heart is truly in something, it allows your mind and will to be steadfast and unrelenting. But you must engage your intellect and will. So I'm going to say that again. If your heart is truly in something, it allows your mind and your will to be steadfast and unrelenting, but you must engage your intellect and will. You have to do it. You must challenge yourself to think deeply, she says, to be moved intellectually, to ask questions and keep looking for answers. So what she's basically saying, and I don't know if any ladies out there who are listening to the program right now, if you can identify with this, she says that very often women are, people want to reduce them to just their emotional life, but you're more than how you feel about something, more than your emotions. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, and if it has, you can let me know. 1-888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. And she says, you've got to get going with the life of the mind too. And that kind of completes, it's a more holistic way to look at the faith and to live the faith. Because yes, we can connect with God on an emotional level, but we also need to connect with him on an intellectual level. And at the level of the will, head, heart, and hands, we often use that expression. We've got to know him with our minds. We've got to love him with our hearts. We've also got to serve him with our hands and our feet. We've got to go where he asks us to go to serve the people that he wants us to serve, which is everybody. Something actually happened to Rachel Bowman to really drive this point home. She says, and I quote, a few years ago, there was an ad on one of my social media feeds for a summer philosophy seminar. Now, growing up, I would read scripture and the occasional spiritual book, but philosophy? That was a hard no. That was a hard no. It sounded daunting and it felt incredibly foreign to even say the word philosophy. But this particular seminar was called Love, Sex, and the Human Person. Having just read Love and Responsibility by Karol Wojtyła, and that, of course, the future Pope John Paul II, and that was really an interesting book that he wrote prior to his stuff on theology of the body, but it really feeds into that. So when she saw this philosophy seminar called Love, Sex, and the Human Person, her interest was piqued. And she said, I looked at the information for this thing, and it would be for everybody, all types of learners. You don't have to be an expert. You could be a beginner. You could be an expert philosopher, but everything in between. Everybody's welcome. So she applied for this, and she was accepted, had no idea what she was getting into. So she flew out to the seminar, and she said it was a week long, and the days were nothing but deep thought and conversation. They would wake up at 8 a.m. every day for breakfast, attend seminars, spend time in small group discussion. Then the evenings were filled with deep conversations and social time. But the discussions were never frivolous. They were never superficial conversations. And they would talk about what they were learning at the seminar. They would take a deep dive into the depths of their hearts and their minds. And then they finally went to bed because you had to sleep. I mean, eventually you'd conk out, but they just wanted to keep it going. Like, it was really stimulating intellectually. And Rachel Bowman says that when she boarded the flight to go back home, she was a little bit weary from all the intellectual stimulation, but something had awakened within her. She said it was like a dam burst open and a thirst that she never knew was beginning to be satiated. And then she started reading more. Like, when she got home, she started reading theology that before had seemed a little bit out of reach, maybe too highfalutin. She started writing better with a bit of philosophical knowledge that she didn't know that she was capable of. And so she says, I invite you to join me here. I invite you to pick up the book that seemed all too dense and struggle through it. Do not lack the humility to look up the words that you don't understand, to reach out to knowledgeable friends for clarity. Hey, you know, what does this mean? To hold your mind out next to your heart and beg the Holy Spirit to penetrate them both. You are indeed both. You need both to be fully expanded in the torrential love of God. End of quote. That's really important, that we have to allow God to fill our mind and our heart with his love. I think that's so huge. So we've got to be holistic in that way. So let me just take a quick break here. Let's go to the phones here. Mary Alice is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Mary Alice. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Clark?
I'm great.
Good. A friend of mine turned me on to Relevant Radio about a month ago. He's up in Cleveland. That's where I come from originally.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, it's a great website, and I've been enjoying all of the announcer. No, what do you call them?
Like the whole show hosts.
Like yourself. Regarding your topic, mm-hmm. I had read in maybe a relationship book years ago. I don't remember where I read this. Mm-hmm. But women should think like a man, but behave like a lady.
Think and like a man,
behave
like a lady.
Of course, I was raised, think like a man, because God gave us a brain, we're allowed to use it and think with it, mm-hmm. but then behave like a lady. And I was raised with five brothers and a sister. We were raised to be ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And conduct our lives as such, but to think. My dad used to get after us and say, all right, kids, don't you want to kind of rethink that? Whatever mm-hmm. something one of us would come up with when we were kids. So I guess that will help your audience.
Yeah. And you know what? What's great, too, is we can also say, hey, you know, you heard the expression, obviously you just said it there, you know, think like a man, behave like a lady. But you can also think like a lady and behave like a lady. Because one of the
true.
Yeah,
yes.
We have a lot of great female saints or doctors of the church who thought really well.
You know, I've wondered, yes, and I have wanted to read of them. Who is Catherine of Siena?
Mm-hmm.
Is she not one of the great doctors of the church? Yes. I've wanted to read her, but I'm still working and driving myself crazy to and from work downtown, but... Yes, that's true. And my mother and my godmother and a lot of my aunts were very thinking, reasonable, rational, good Catholic women that my sister and I had very good role model.
Mm, yeah, that's important.
With these women in our lives, yeah.
Well, Mary Alice, yeah, that's a lot of great stuff that you said there. And I want you to hang in here. Like after you hang up, please keep listening to the show because you mentioned, well, you know, I want to read this stuff, but I don't really have time right now. Reading is one way that we can connect with God for the intellectual life, but it's not the only way. And Rachel shared a little bit about that. I want to tell you about it, but we've got to take a little quick break here on the show. So thanks for calling. That was Mary Alice calling from Columbus, Ohio. Going to take a quick break here. Are there other ways to connect with God with the mind? How do you connect with God? Do you feel more in your heart? Do you want to learn more? Well, you need both. And this is what we're talking about on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Be right back. 888-914-9149. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Producer Lucas is like, let me know if you like this song. I feel like I'm in an 80s video game or something, but I do like it. It's like the first edition of Madden or something that ever came out. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, 80s video game. That's pretty much what was on the cover of the song that I chose from. So
I like it. I like it. One of the greatest decades of all time. Well, listen, we're talking about how we connect with God through the intellectual life. And you say, well, hey, hang on here. I'm not an intellectual. I'm not a scholar. It doesn't matter. You do have, if you have a brain, and you do, you have a mind, you do have an intellectual life. And you've got to relate that to God as well, because Jesus said in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you've got to love God with everything you are, with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Don't forget the mind part. And Father Rocky is very fond of saying, our own CEO here at Relevant Radio, Father Rocky Hoffman, during his famous series that he does every year, Lenten Lessons on the Mass, he always says, you can't love somebody that you don't know. So the more you know about our Lord, the more you'll love him. Just like the more you know about the Mass, the more you'll love it. And it's a lot like falling in love. We're talking about this article by Rachel Bowman, which is called How God Pursues Us Through the Intellectual Life, which was just published a couple days ago on the Catholic Woman website. And again, I have a lot of Catholic women in my life, my wife, my daughter, my mom, a lot of people I know, my sister. So I got to know what they're thinking in order to be able to serve them better, right? Okay. Anyways, she talks about in the article this idea of falling in love. And she says, when you fall in love, you want to know everything about the one that you adore. You want to know their likes, their hates, their favorite things, all of their aversions. You want to be able to trace all the lines of their face and see all the flecks of hazel in their eyes. You want to know them just as much as you want them to know you. And it's the same with Christ and his bride, the church. And this is it. Like, as the church collectively, we're the bride of Christ. And so we have to know Jesus really, really well. And the best way to do that, by the way, is reading the Gospels. Get to know him. Encounter him. It's a living book. It's a living book. And you really can't exhaust this knowledge. And Rachel says you can't exhaust the wonders of Christ and his bride. You can bring your heart to the altar. You can weep at his feet. You can do the same with your mind and with your body. You can surrender every piece of yourself as he responds with everything he has and everything he is. We can't reduce our relationship with him to one facet of communication. And she says that she did that for too long, for far too long. Here's what she says, and I quote, "I only found him in the pages of spiritual writers, in apologetics, in content that only pulled at the heartstrings. Emotionally driven and never piercing through the heart and into the soul and mind. It felt as if I was only being pursued by romantic gestures and not through knowledge and wisdom. I think we both know," and she gives the example of going on a date. She says, "I think we both know that when all we're met with on the date is flowers and a tasty dinner, the date is over pretty quickly. If there's no great conversation, if there's no real, you know, intellectual stimulation, it's not gonna go very well. You're gonna be saying, oh, gee, I just forgot I have an appointment. I gotta get home. When the conversation is rich, we stay. We want to linger over that dinner, right? And so, this is what she says. She says, "I mistakenly treated my relationship with God as one of constant emotional and romantic advances." That's interesting, because obviously Jesus is the lover of our soul. And I don't know, maybe she thought of it as a great Harlequin romance of sorts. She says, "When I didn't feel anything in this relationship with God, I thought I wasn't trying hard enough. It would be like trying to recreate the night my husband proposed to me in order that I might feel pursued again. As the love between my husband and I has matured," she writes, "I find his advances in extraordinary and ordinary things, in extravagant and moderate displays. When he sends me flowers, I recognize he's trying to pursue me. The pursuit is not less when he makes the bed or spends hours talking with me before we fall asleep or takes out the trash or holds my hand as we ride in the car. The pursuit is the same," end of quote. I think that's an interesting insight that she gives there. And as a husband, I'm starting to learn that as well. Hey, buying flowers is great, but making the bed or taking out the trash, that scores you a ton of husband points as well, and really can promote the relationship in certain ways. Anyways, enough said about that. But she says, Rachel Bowman, "Sometimes I read the words of great thinkers in our church or even the words of Christ in Scripture, and I'm unmoved. Sometimes I feel nothing, but the pursuit has not changed. The pursuit has taken a different avenue to reach my heart. That is, through my mind." And that's really important, because a lot of people think, oh, if I don't feel anything, if I don't get the warm fuzzies in my relationship with God, that means nothing's happening. Or maybe the relationship has gotten weak, I don't feel anything. You can't base it on feelings. Sometimes these feelings do come as sort of a consolation, but we can't bank on that all the time. If they do come, it's a grace from God. Don't forget Mother Teresa, right? 50 years, the dark night of the soul, when she was the most renowned around the world for her acts of charity and love. Everybody saw that smile, that beautiful smile, and nobody knew. Spiritual desert for the entire 50 years. Only when her writings to her spiritual director came to light after her death did the world find out, wow, like, how is that even possible? It's because it's not just based on feelings. It's about not just based on feelings. Producer Lucas, you read this article too, and you had a little bit of a take about this, and this applies to men as well. Obviously, she's writing to other Catholic women, but even as guys, we can kind of relate to this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know for me personally, I can fall into the trap of equating the progress in my spiritual life with how I'm feeling, and I think a classic example for me is going to adoration. I'll go, and there are times where I'm like, almost have these like spiritual highs, and I'm just like, yes, yep, this is awesome. It's me and Jesus, there he is in the Blessed Sacrament. And there's other times where I'm tired, I don't feel like being there, etc. And I start to have thoughts, okay, therefore I must be kind of losing favor with God, or since I'm not feeling it today, like maybe God isn't as pleased with my efforts. But actually, I think the opposite's true. Like,
yeah,
being there in the tiredness and in the not feeling like it actually bears a lot more fruit, I think, because like you brought up the analogy with your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
If I am only loving Gina, or I only feel like she's loving me when I'm like feeling good, mm-hmm. then that's not a good place to be in. But if it's, you can still carry out those actions of doing your daily duties, even when you're not feeling like it, that's showing that like you're using your will to show mm-hmm. that you're still loving, even though you might not be feeling it. So I think it definitely relates to men as well. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but
yeah, I agree with you 100%. It's as one of my friends once said about you mentioned adoration, and sometimes you get the warm fuzzies. Wow, I'm on the mount. It's like the Mount of Transfiguration. Lord, can we just like pitch a tent and stay here forever? No, we got to come back down the mountain and get back in the world. But it's very much like the tanning salon. You just sit in under the light, and you are going to be changed, even though you don't feel anything happening. And it's true, when we bask in the sunlight, S-O-N, see that pun there? I don't know how funny that actually is, but it's true. It's absolutely true that when we bask in Christ's presence in prayer, especially in adoration, we can pray anywhere, of course, but just the sunlight does affect us and does change us. And maybe sometimes the most pleasing prayer to God is the one that, When you're just fighting the whole time, even the Catechism says that. The Catechism in the section on prayer says prayer is a battle. I think that's the first sentence of it. It's a battle, and when you fight that battle, when it's hard and you don't feel like doing it, in a lot of ways, I think God is very pleased with that effort, and that might bring the most fruit of any kind of prayer.
Yeah, I think you're right. And as you were saying that, I was reminded of I think it was Blessed Carlo Acutis who said something similar, like just sitting in God's presence, even if you're fighting like that, like he used the analogy of the sun, like as you sit under the sun and you start to get tanned, so too sitting in the presence of God, you're going to start to, that light's going to start to rub off on you, even if you're not aware of the effects of it. You know, God's always working below the surface. Yeah. And doing things that we can't see. So,
and Blessed Carlo Acutis, who was quite young when he passed away, I forget exactly how old he was. I think it was, what, 17?
Yeah, say 16 or 17, yeah.
Didn't he code video games, too?
Yeah, he did.
maybe that's where you got that music from earlier. Maybe he used that in one of his video games. I don't know. But no, he definitely a saint for the youth of today, for today's generation. 1-888-914-9149. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If this is resonating with you, if you want to make a comment, please call in. Now, one of the interesting things about this article by Rachel Bowman, which again is entitled How God Pursues Us Through the Intellectual Life. In just a second, I want to tell you about how it's not necessarily what you think, the intellectual life. It doesn't mean sitting in the Oxford Library, the Bodleian Library, reading all these ancient texts. That's not necessarily what it's all about at all. Although obviously reading is a big part of it. But we talked about a couple of minutes ago this idea of the relationship, and she uses the marriage analogy as you want to know the other person that you love. You want to get to know them as much as possible. You can't really love someone that you don't know. You can have warm, fuzzy feelings, and you can be attracted to somebody, but you don't really love them unless you love them for who they are. So you've got to get to know them. You've got to get to know Christ. And she gave the example of you can't reduce your relationship with God to one facet of communication. So it can't be just on the emotional level. It has to be also with the intellect, even with your body. This is theology of the body, right? With your will. That's really important. And again, she said that when she didn't feel anything, she felt like she wasn't trying hard enough in the relationship, and that's not true. So, and here's another thing too. She said, "Sometimes I feel nothing, but the pursuit has not changed. The pursuit has taken a different avenue to reach my heart through my mind." End of quote. And I think you might be, if you're listening today, you might be longing for this too. And especially if you're a woman who's listening to this, you might be longing to be valued beyond your physicality, your beauty, beyond your emotion, your affectivity. Perhaps, just like Rachel Bowman said, when you're out on a date, you want to have good conversation too. Maybe you're longing to be asked, what do you think? How do you think? We long to be seen fully. That's one of the things that Rachel Bowman says in her article. And I think that's a really interesting comparison, especially in light of everything that's happened lately with the Me Too movement, the sexism, unfortunately, that's in the culture. Sometimes it wants to reduce women to mere bodies or mere beauty. You want to be seen by others as a whole human person. And you got to understand that God wants to relate to you as a full human person too. And that includes the intellectual life. We're going to go to the phones right now. Mary is calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Mary. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Cale. It's nice to comment on this, and it's a very good topic. I was saying to the call screener that I'm 61. I'm turning 61, and my whole married life, I've been reading. I started intellectually because I was looking for that feeling, that relationship with mm-hmm. our Lord, and I did not feel it. So, but I went to Mass. We're, you know, very Catholic, and I need to receive our Lord mm-hmm. weekly or during the week, and Eucharistic adoration, and again, wonderful. And so finally, after all these years, and I did go through periods in my faith journey where I had different types of dryness, and at one point thinking, oh, this is as dry as you can go, and then boom, much drier than that, and then the Lord came back, but it was never what I imagined, what I was looking for. But the key here is I, what I wanted, and I finally surrendered. I finally just surrendered, kind of hitting a rock bottom, but still just living my life, you know, my Catholic life that I cannot live without the sacraments. And the minute I did that, the Holy Spirit rushed in. And the feelings of closeness to the Lord, the feeling of pure, complete love, I almost want to just be in heaven at times because it's so beautiful. And the saint, actually, for me, and I'll just add this in, mm-hmm. that probably is helping me the most right now is I had read St. Faustina's diary, but I started listening to it.
That's interesting.
And it was very hard because they only have it on an MP3, and it's very difficult to even get an MP3 player right now, but I had an old one, and I started listening to St. Faustina and Jesus. And the Blessed Mother is also on this recording. Mm-hmm. And she, I believe, really has interceded for me. But that's my story. And
So it's kind of like an audio book, if you will, of Divine Mercy in My Soul, Spiritual Diary of St. Faustina. Yeah, that's interesting. So it kind of hits you a different way in an audio format. But Mary, I was just going to say, Mary, it seems to me that in a sense, you had the opposite problem that Rachel Bowman was talking about, in that you seem to have the intellectual connection with God down pat. You're doing a lot of reading, you're studying. But for you, it was the opposite. You needed to connect with him almost on an emotional, affective level with that surrender, right?
Exactly. And I did pick that up from your commentary earlier, and I guess I didn't articulate that as clearly. That is exactly, it is the opposite problem that she had. But I've wondered, and shouldn't, why it's been all these years. And I did think of Mother Teresa and her dryness, and she's a different story than me. But I thought, you know, I wonder why this has happened all these years. But I don't doubt Jesus. I love our faith. I love our church. And I love the sacraments. And I just, whatever my life is, that is what I have surrendered to.
Wow. Well, that's very inspiring, Mary. Thank you for calling and sharing your story with us. And I have to ask you, since you're calling from Milwaukee, are you a Bucks fan?
Oh, Yes, we are so excited. For tomorrow night. So everybody say a prayer.
Yeah, I just wanted to say hashtag Bucks in six, right? So game six, of course, tomorrow night in the NBA Finals, Milwaukee and Phoenix. So far my tweet, I tweeted before the series started. I said if Giannis is healthy, Bucks are going to win this. It's aging well so far. We'll see what happens. It's not over yet. But Mary, thanks for calling from Milwaukee. Appreciate you. And thanks for listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Oh, thank you for your show. Bye-bye.
Okay. God bless. We're going to go back to the phones now. Carrie is on the line from Austin, Texas. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, Cale. Thank you for taking my call here today. And I appreciate your show here, too.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You were talking a bit earlier about the various ways of having contact with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned spiritually, and you mentioned emotionally. And God has said to us, ask whatever you want. I'll give it to you. So what if we ask God, open my ears that I may hear whatever it is that you want me to hear.
Hmm.
And open my eyes that I might see whatever it is that you want me to see, and then be ready. Hmm. Because God can show you or tell you or let you hear anything, because God is all-powerful. He can do anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he can do anything, we and if we ask him to, within his will, reveal these things to us, he will. And Carrie, I really appreciate that comment, because I was just, what you just said, I was just going to allude to that. So that is a perfect segue. So Carrie, thank you for that. That was Carrie listening in Austin, Texas. Please call back again soon. Great call. And this is one of the things that Rachel Bowman talked about in her article, because again, to connect with God with the life of the mind intellectually, it's not just for scholars. It's not. Although obviously it is for scholars too. And so where to start? She talks about this in her piece. It's not the, in terms of reading, like devoting hours to reading, maybe some academic reading, so maybe some higher, you know, level of difficulty reading. That's great. But it's not the only formula, she says, to spark the fire of the mind. And this is what she says. She says, quote, I believe that the Lord in his wisdom has surrounded you with current opportunities to think deeply. And this is very, very apropos to Carrie's point. Open my eyes, Lord. Open my ears, Lord, to what's going on around me. What do you want me to see? What do you want me to hear? And Rachel Bowman says, we can fan the flames of thought anywhere. In the mountains, on a hike, in a library, buried in a stack of books, watching the storylines of a favorite sitcom unfold. Yeah, imagine, like, could God speak to you through watching Seinfeld or something? I don't know. While doing the thing that you do each day that you call work, or within any day-to-day reality that has become monotonous or repetitive, we must realize that the pursuit of God is not confined to any framework. He pursues you tirelessly in every single moment of your life. End of quote. That is an interesting insight. This concept that God can reach you or speak to you anywhere. I've had that happen. I mean, I've watched movies where just a throwaway line from a movie, I'm like, oh, I needed to hear that. That's almost like God using this to speak to me. Maybe this has happened to you. 1-888-914-9149. It is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So what is pursuing the intellectual life, the life of the mind with Christ? What does that look like for you? What does that look like for you? Maybe it is through reading. Maybe you connect with God that way. Maybe you connect with God through some of these other experiences in which God speaks to your mind, like we just talked about. Let me know. 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We'll be right back after this quick message.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the program. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call on the Cale Clark Show. We are talking about how God pursues us through the intellectual life, and based on a piece by Rachel Bowman. And she was speaking to women, but I think this applies to everybody. God wants to speak to us through the life of the mind as well as through all kinds of other ways. There's nothing that he can't use. And we're going to go to the phones right now because there's somebody on the line who wants to talk about one of the ways that God speaks to him personally. Tony calling from Paterson, New Jersey. Hey, Tony. I believe you called before, so welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Cale. You really cover great topics, and this is one of them.
Thank you.
I would say that art is the perfect bridge between the intellectual and the emotive or emotional aspects of life. And, of course, it's at the heart of the Catholic experience. But, you know, if someone is struggling for a felt presence of God and wants to deepen this part of their life, I mean, what could be less painful or intimidating than to say, listen to a great piece of music, let's listen to a mass by Palestrina, let's read a great poem by Dante, let's look at a beautiful painting or sculpture. Art is an embodiment of lived sensual experience that that affects our emotions and our entire experiential life. But once you've had that and you want to go into the depth of it, it opens up an immense intellectual universe. I mean, if you walked into the Sistine ceiling and you looked at, you first might be struck at just the overwhelming beauty of the Michelangelo frescoes, but after a while, you're certainly going to start asking questions about the meaning of human life, destiny, purpose, by virtue of looking at that artistic masterpiece. So I think it bridges both aspects.
Tony, I think that's a great point. Obviously, beauty being one of the transcendentals that connects us to God. And you're right. Like, so much in art, I think it was St. Thomas Aquinas, and I could be wrong on this, who said basically just looking at a crucifix can be a catechism in itself. I think that's true of a lot of pieces of religious art, too, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because it's a doorway. It's a doorway through which you go through. I mean, one of my favorite expressions, I think it says more than many treatises on aesthetics, is a simple statement made by the German poet Rilke when he saw the Apollo Belvedere for the first time, which is in the Vatican collection. And he, looking at this piece of sculpture, he said, "Now I must make my whole life over." Huh. So there was something in the work that made him recognize that he must make his life commensurate with that beauty. And the ultimate beauty, the ultimate meaning, the ultimate purpose is, of course, the sacred and God. And I think it just naturally induces us or seduces us into that mystery in a very beautiful and effortless way that engages every aspect of our being.
Tony, that's beautifully said. That's artistic in and of itself. I love that comment. Wow, that's amazing. And Tony, listen, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in. I'm glad you did, because those are incredible.
Thanks for having a great show, Cale.
Oh, God bless you. Thanks, Tony. Please remember me in your prayers. We'll pray for you, too. That was Tony calling from Paterson, New Jersey, talking about how art can connect us to God, too. Yeah, God can speak through and does speak through anything in creation, testifying to himself, calling us back to him all the time. We're going to go now to Tom. Tom is on the line from Sacramento. Hey, Tom.
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You're on the air with me.
Well, good.
Thank Sorry to you keep either. You waiting.
that's okay. Waiting is part of telephone talk.
Growing in virtue.
So you're talking about the one way in which Jesus allowed my mind to love him and know him better is to start with his being perfect and perfectly human, and so he would not waste my time. Whatever he says and does must be so. Mm-hmm. So I can look at, okay, Jesus, it's with the Holy Eucharist as most clear.
Wow.
You did it. Why must it be so? Why must you come to me as food and drink? And I'm a person who loves food a very great deal. But I need to let Jesus love me more, and I need to love him more. And how can he be more intimate with me than food and drink? Well, first he has to come to me as food and drink, but in a more intimate way. The regular food that I take that I consume or anything other thing that I consume like that becomes part of me, and that's the end of it for it. But in the Holy Eucharist, he's alive before, he's alive during, and he's alive after. And not only does he come into my life, but the sacrament takes me up into his life.
That's right. We really do
so
become
in a more intimate.
Yeah, I was just going to say we are what we eat when it comes to the Eucharist.
So he offers me his love in a more intimate way than any other way, and this demonstrates he loves every person with equal passion. He wants everyone to experience his physical as well as spiritual loving embrace, and nutrition is the way every person who's alive can embrace him. And this shows his desire. His desire. He wants me very much.
Yeah.
And he also showed me in another way that my desire was for the greatest lover I could possibly have, one who would die for me. And he showed me that he is that person.
Yeah, Tom, I appreciate that call. It was Tom calling from Sacramento. I really like what he said there when Tom said his desire is for me. Jesus' desire is for each one of us. He's not indifferent towards us. He didn't save us. Yes, he did save humanity, but also us in particular, not just in the general. That's got to become real for us. As St. Paul says, the Son of God gave himself for me. It has to be on the individual level as well as on the collective level as well. We've got to feel that. That's why Jesus said before he celebrated the Eucharist, the Last Supper, he said, with desire I have desired to celebrate this meal with you, this Eucharist. I have passionately desired that. And I think Tom really brought that passion through in his phone call there. Well, let me just finish up with a couple of thoughts here on this piece. And it's been a great discussion about how to connect with God through the intellectual life, but also on other levels too. And one of the things that Rachel Bowman says at the end of her piece, and again, this is exactly the right way. She talks about the Blessed Virgin Mary as the prime example here. She is the seat of wisdom, right? She's the wonderful lover of wisdom, the woman par excellence, the embodiment. Now, obviously, Rachel Bowman is writing on catholicwoman.co, but this goes for everybody too. But she's the embodiment of womanhood. She's the ideal disciple for everybody to model after. And she says also, this is interesting, Rachel Bowman says she's hands down the best thinker. She's the best thinker in the history of the church because she not only pursues wisdom, but she loves wisdom himself, Christ. That's why she's the seat of wisdom. So if you want to become more like Mary, you've got to also seek to become a thinker. And I think also that's why in art, and we had a great call about art from Tony earlier, just a moment ago. I think that's why Mary is often portrayed in art as reading a book. Now, it's a little bit anachronistic, right? I mean, a painter is painting in a certain age where there were books. There weren't physical books necessarily like we have them in Mary's time. But in a lot of artwork about the Annunciation, she's reading a book. And the idea is she's immersing herself in Scripture. That's why she's able to, quote-unquote, get it. She got it. When she pondered all these things in her heart, when Jesus is lost in the temple, where were you? We were worried about you. Well, I had to be in my Father's house. Well, she ponders this in her heart. She was able to get this because her mind and her heart were working together to understand God's word and will. That is beautiful. And Rachel Bowman reminds us that in Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason by John Paul II, he teaches us that when Mary said yes to God, when she gave her fiat, that didn't take away her freedom or her humanity, but it expanded her very person. Her love of wisdom expanded who she was. Because we, inquiring minds want to know, right? That's why we ask questions. That's why we Google things, because we want to know the answers. We have a lot of whys, a lot of why questions that we want to ask God. And when we do that, we should look to Mary as a great example. And this is a beautiful, beautiful quote. The monks as Bowman reminds us, the monks in Christian antiquity called Our Lady, this is beautiful, the table at which faith sits in thought. Our Lady is the table at which faith sits in thought. So pull up a chair, Let's sit together and think. That's what Bowman says. I think that's great. So really nice article, Rachel. Thanks for writing it. Gave us a lot of great discussion today on The Cale Clark Show. Hey, by the way, got a great guest coming up. The Olympics start on Friday in Tokyo. Dominique Dawes, Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics, is going to be joining me live on Thursday's show. She's Catholic, and she's going to talk about faith and how God pulled her through some amazing, exhilarating, but also very stressful times as an Olympian. I think you're really going to love this interview coming up on Thursday. We've got a special treat for you tomorrow, too, but I think I'm going to save that as a surprise. Lucas Holt produced today. Jake Moore sitting in for Patrick Alog, who's earning a well-deserved vacation this week. Screened your calls. Took your calls. Thanks for calling in, everybody. Thanks for listening. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.